Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I hope somebody shook your hand. I hope you met somebody that knows Jesus. I hope you know Jesus. Praise the Lord. Now then, I want to say that, as a healing school that we had yesterday, sometimes we have families that come a long way to a healing school. But we had a couple of families yesterday that was way beyond coming. We have a family here that come from Sweden. Where are you? Stand up. They're back there, okay? Y'all stand up. They come all the way from Sweden and brought two of their children with them, and they came expecting to get healed. And the man told me, he said, I really met you in Norway. When you were in Norway, when I was in Norway, and Cheryl was in Norway, and he said, the one thing I remember about you with my children, you told me, whatever you do, don't never give up for their healing.
Amen. That's right.
That makes sense, doesn't it, Miss Paula?
Yes, sir.
Well, see, here's a girl up here on the front that was sick for 20-something years.
Yes.
20-something years she'd been sick, and she finally found, I think Miss Betty brought her out here, and she finally come out here and begin to hear the Word of God like it's really written, and begin to believe like it's really written. And it took how many months or years?
3 months.
3 months, okay. In 3 months, she got healed.
Yes.
Now she's been healed ever since.
Yes.
And then we have a couple here somewhere from Canada. Who's here? Who's a couple from Canada? Okay, right here. Okay, yeah. They're from Canada, so praise the Lord. Wow, these people must believe that a healing Jesus shows up in this place. And he does. And the reason that people come is because their friends and relatives or whatever, or somebody gives them a CD and they listen to what Jesus does in this place. And so they come expecting a miracle themselves. And the God that we serve does produce miracles. Wow, and I'm so grateful that he does miracles. Now I'm going to give you an opportunity. If there's any of you that want to give a testimony, if you have a testimony yourself before we start the church service today, I'd open the mic up to you if you want to come up and tell us anything. If God has done something in the last month, 6 months, or a year, whatever, that through this ministry or any, if Jesus has done anything, you're welcome to come and tell what he's done. Is there anybody got one? Anybody? Nobody got one? Okay.
Oh,
you
got one.
Okay. Well, come up here. Here, wait a minute. Let me come over here and give you the mic. Okay.
My name is MJ. I don't know. And I'm from Keller. Through a series of interesting connections, I attended the healing school yesterday. I'm so blessed by it. And then I was prayed over because I've been dealing with things from my childhood that basically that garbage is getting in the way of being anointed by the Holy Spirit to go out and share the gospel. And I'm seeking the Lord, so I wanted a greater fulfillment of that anointing. So anyways, I got prayed over, and then Cheryl gave me a CD about the sycamine tree. And I listened to that on the way home, and it was like, wow, it just opened my eyes. And then this morning I was in prayer, and so as a result of that, when my husband got up a couple hours later, I confessed all my sins that have happened, that the Lord brought to mind in our 28 years of marriage. And then that included going through all of our finances and just confessing expenses that I've incurred without his approval. And then the Lord revealed to me that he was the one that gave me my biological parents, and that if I hadn't had that experience, then I would not be the person that I am today. And this is the best season of my whole life anyways. And I'm a warrior for sharing the gospel, from the grace of God. And when I had that connection in me, I just thought, wow, it's so beautiful. And so yesterday when Cheryl was asking me to pray after her that I love my biological father, those words almost just, I couldn't even get them out. I mean, it was really a struggle. But then this morning with that revelation from the Lord, I felt his love and I felt free. So anyways, I'm a testimonial and to be continued because God's just working on the inside. I mean, I'm like being stretched and it truly is. I'm blessed to be a daughter of the living King. Amen.
Amen, amen, and amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Wow. Okay, well, you got one?
I made another trip. I'd like to talk about it.
You made a road
road trip. He went to Hobbs.
Oh, okay. Come on. Come on up here, Bill. Oh, is it turned on? Praise the Lord. All right. Bill's our Psalm 91 man.
I'm 91 hero.
I did have a nice testimony out of this last trip that Betty and I made. We went out west towards Hobbs, New Mexico, and on the way we stopped to pass out cards in some cities that we hadn't approached, like Clyde and Baird, and then we got on out to, we left some in Seminole and Andrews, and then we got into Hobbs, and we were able to have a lot of wonderful reception out there because the people, when you go in, now it's kind of getting to be fun. I walk in and I tell them, I say, I'm your protection. And that breaks the ice, actually. then I'm quick to say, but it's not really me that breaks gives you your protection, but I do have Psalm 91 cards. And how many people have you got here? I want to make sure everyone's got one. You don't need to really say much more, because from that point you've said what hits their ears. You've got a prayer of protection, and then they want it and they take it. And it's just the feeling when you're doing it yourself rather than sending things through the mail is so much better. I just can't be in all places, but I wanted to encourage each one of you, if you want to pick up some of these cards here and pick you out a spot and have a 30 minute of enjoyment, go do it. But one of the things I wanted to point out, you've heard me say before, on one occasion when we made our first trip, we stopped and we were able to go in, and in this particular case, and it was another highway patrol office in New Mexico. We've gotten all the highway patrol offices covered here in Texas. Everyone has got their cards.
Amen.
Got them all, which is over 3,000 cards. But out there, I walked in and I just picked some up, and you're right. They counted the cards, 30 cards. 30 cards were there, and it just shows you again, God is going ahead of this ministry in spite of anything else. His word is going to prevail.
Amen.
And it will not return void, and it will accomplish that which he purposed it. So don't slow down in anything that the Lord puts on your heart. And I want to say one thing else, too. You know, I've been in this ministry quite some time now, and we've learned a lot listening to Thurman, and we've learned a lot about the boldness it takes sometimes to pray for somebody. Well, we were having our last little meal in Hobbs, coming back out at a what restaurant was that?
Chili's,
yeah. And we sat across from a booth, and there was a young lady there. I'd say she's in her 30s. And people, this poor girl weighed over 500-600 pounds. She, pretty big girl, and her husband, it wasn't like they both enjoyed to eat. He was skinnier than I am, and I'm not, you know, skinny. But the point is, the Lord put it on my heart to pray for her, and I thought this could be my test, because I normally wouldn't go up to somebody and just tell them I need to pray for them. But I did. I walked over to her and I said, "Ma'am, would you mind if I prayed for you?" And I didn't ask the husband first if I could, but I did that. As I prayed for her, I said, "Lord, I didn't ask this man permission to pray for his wife, which I should have done," but she was very open to it. And I'll tell you, when I got through praying for her and I told her how much God loved her, and I picked up a lot of this love in the way that Mike presents himself with such a God of love, that I felt like I just wanted to tell her that, and that he was aware that she had a problem and that he would help her. And, you know, she was very receptive to it. She said, "Oh, thank you so very, very much." And, you know, all it took was just opening my mouth and going over there and talking to her. And you don't want to miss those opportunities. If the Lord's telling you you need to pray for somebody, we really do need to listen. And he's always open to let us pray for those that need it.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Bill. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, you got something? Oh, Bill, Mike, you got something? Okay, come on up here. Praise the Lord. Yeah, I opened the floor a while ago. Nobody's talking. Now we're getting going. We're on a roll now. Praise the Lord.
I'll give a condensed version of the car one.
Oh, okay.
Well, We've got a customer. She's a single mom, and she works for Visiting Angels. And she puts a bunch of miles on her van, and it was, the sweet was chewed out of that gum, let's put it that way. And we needed to get her another car. So Gracie and I told her that, you know, we'll go find her a car, just pick the weekend, and we'll help you out. So we went by CarMax, and she got to drive everything and see all kinds of different cars. And they ran her credit, and it didn't look good. And she had a pretty decent down payment, but the payments weren't fitting her budget. And so we tried every which way, 23% interest. They were not helping her very much. So after we leave CarMax, we get in the parking lot, and Gracie and I talk to the Lord. We basically said, this is not looking good in the physical, but we need favor, Lord. We need help here, because this is not possible in the physical. But I know you know her need, and we need to get her hooked up with a vehicle today. And we just prayed for favor and that we would find the right vehicle and that the Lord would put us at the right place at the right time. Long story short, we went to a bunch of dealerships. I didn't feel moved on any of the cars. So the place we wanted to go first is where we wound up last. And we walk in, and I don't see the guy that I normally deal with, but there was a real nice man at the door, said he'd help us. So I said, okay, well, I've been a lot of places today. Just make it short. We need a Japanese SUV under $10,000. Give me your short list. So we went over to his desk, and he pulls up some stuff, and I basically, no. And then he reaches in his pocket, and he says, I know you're looking for an SUV, and I've been telling this lady since we talked to her at the shop that the best money spent would be for a four-door sedan. You're going to get more car for the money because SUVs are hot right now. And her brother told her the exact same thing. Get a Honda Accord or a Toyota Camry. You're going to get many miles. It's got plenty of room. And he says, this is a Honda Accord. I sold it this morning to a man from Louisiana. He drove all the way down here, wrote me a check for it. I said, okay. He said, it gets even better. Let me run you the Carfax on this thing. He took this car to Pep Boys and had their 100-point check done, paid cash for it. It checked out 100% perfect, nothing wrong with it. Well, he runs the Carfax and hands it to me. A doctor bought it at 3 miles from the dealership that we were standing in. Every 3,000 miles it was in for an oil change. It just had the timing belt, water pump, tensioner, all that done, new tires. It was basically a perfect car, so I said, okay, let's go look at this thing. And I slid the Carfax over to the lady. She looked at it. She liked it. She was thinking the sedan's the way to go now. So we go out in the parking lot, and we look at this thing. They had no kids. Back seat's like brand new. The front seats are brand new leather. Sunroof. This thing's gorgeous, like it came off the showroom floor. Just had 100,000 miles on it. So we go back, and I told the guy, the credit situation isn't good here, but you know, we've gone to several dealerships. Every dealership runs the credit, and it makes it even worse than it was when we started this morning. So just then, the head of finance, who it was his day off, happens to come walking in to the used car side, which he never comes to the used car side because they're their own entity. And he calls him over to the desk. He tells him the situation, and he says, okay, I'll personally take care of this one. I'll call the bank. We'll do a face-to-face deal on the phone. We won't even run the credit. So they come back. We filled out the credit report. We the salesman prayed. We prayed together in agreement that it would be approved and that she would get a better interest rate. Yes, and we broke the spirit of poverty over her. Right there in the dealership. Right there, that day is the day that she was delivered. This guy called the bank, got it approved. Somebody donated a couple thousand dollars to get the principal down so her payment was where it was supposed to be. The dealership donated, the salesman personally donated the first payment. He said he wanted part of that blessing. So he donated the first payment, and we also, I gave him some Psalms 91 cards. I gave him the exact amount of Psalms 91 cards as they had salesmen. Just
amen.
Through the Holy Spirit, he reads the stack. And they had just been talking about Psalms 91. Psalms 91 was the salesman's favorite verse. He just put it in the center of his foundation in his house that he was having built. He prays over every car that he sells, and nobody that's bought a car from him has ever had a wreck.
Amen.
Whether they're Christian or not.
Wow.
If they're not receptive, he prays for it in the back lot before he brings it up. Because he wants them to be blessed, he wants them to make their payments, and he wants to sell them another car.
Praise
so this is the most godly salesman that I've ever seen. And it was just awesome that the Holy Spirit put us all together at that time. Yes, and the salesman saw her salary when we filled out the sales report. And he said, you know, these people that are employing you are taking advantage of you because you have to supply your own transportation and they're only paying you $10 an hour. She's making $1,000 a month. It's for traveling all over the place. He said, I'll tell you what, I'll double your salary today. He said that she would get her salary doubled if she didn't get a raise where she was currently, or they made improvements, that he would employ her. She's bilingual. She can work the phones upstairs for double what she was making. So she's got a choice. She can either go to work for them. She's got a raise coming up at her current employment. They love her. So she's pretty much got her choice. We broke the spirit of poverty off of her that day, and she will never be the same. CarMax was going to give her $500 for her van. We got her $1,700 cash for her van a week later. And she came to the shop to pick up the cash because Gracie and I shuttled it around and got it sold for her. She was able to pay off a roofing problem she had on her house. She went out to eat for the first time in 4 years. To Mom's Cafe, get some catfish.
Amen.
That's the first time she's ever been ahead, and she was able to take care. She bought a pair of shoes. It's the first time in years that she's been ahead. It all happened in one day. The Lord is not just answering one prayer. The Lord is running over us with a steamroller. That day, Gracie and I got to introduce her to the God of Ephesians 3:20.
Amen.
And her life will never, ever be the same.
Amen.
Almost the same thing, the same kind of blessing happened this week at the shop again with another lady. We were able to donate the van. A man was in the waiting room, promised her to pay all of her maintenance on all of her vehicles as long as he lives. He said, just bring the car to Mike and Grace, and I'll pay for it.
Wow.
And by the way, my daughter is a lawyer of a nationwide law firm, and if anybody ever takes advantage of you like they did on that van deal in the first place, we will gladly represent you. We broke the spirit of poverty off of her. We broke the spirit of victimization off of her. Her life has changed forever in one transaction of love.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Wow. That's a great, great, wow. Woo. I mean, that God that God that we're talking about here, you know, that, I mean, last at the healing school, and of course, Mike said, you heard him say that, we introduced her to the God of Ephesians 3:20.
Amen.
You know, now, yesterday at the healing school, I told everybody, I said, I want to introduce you to the God of Ephesians 3:20. The God of it can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can even think or imagine, according to the power that worketh in us. Now then, I think we need to hide more of that word in our heart.
Amen.
That's one reason that Mike and Grace are seeing so many awesome masters to prayer, is because they're hiding that word in their heart. They're learning the Word of God, believing the Word of God. In fact, Mike himself had been down with his back for years. And they came over here to church and they began to learn about the promises of God and the God of Ephesians 3:20. And his bride prayed for him and he was instantly healed. And he's never had a back trouble since. The God that we serve, he is a healing God and he does great things. Now then, I'm going to tell you a testimony or two. I had a few phone calls this week myself and I was super blessed. One of those was a couple of them were pastors that I talked to. It's wonderful when a pastor gets a hold of the Word of God. But this one pastor, he's 60 years old. He lives in Cleveland, Tennessee, or close to Cleveland, Tennessee. And he got tired of being a pastor. He said, God, I don't enjoy serving you. I don't see anything happening. You know, he said, when I read the Bible, the apostles and the disciples, you did things for them. I mean, you know, you've done miracles. You've answered their prayers. You saw healings. All kinds of things happened. But he said, Lord, I never see nothing. So I'm just not really happy about working for you. I'd like to see something. I'd like to see something significant. Tell you, when you ask, don't ask if you don't want it. If you ain't willing to go to bat, don't ask a prayer like them. Say, God, do something, because this Ephesians 3:20, God might just show up. So anyway, all of a sudden after he prayed this prayer, another pastor that he knows from up about 60, 80 miles from where he lives there in Cleveland, got a copy of Caitlin's Miracle. And he listened to it several times, and then he sent it to his friend that asked about the Lord, I want to see you do something. So he said, I got this CD from my pastor friend, and I listened to it. And he said, I listened to it again. And I listened to it again. And he said, I listened to it again. And again. He's becoming diligent now. He's hiding the promises of God in his heart, because on that story, I tell you the promises I use and how I do it. How I did that wonderful, awesome thing that Jesus did for my granddaughter, which was killed in a car wreck. How that her brainstem was severed and her skull was crushed and her brainstem, everything was just tore all to pieces. Every organ in her body damaged, and how God healed her and raised her up. And today she's 19 years old. This all happened when she was 3 years old. She was killed in a car wreck. He heard all this. And so then come Easter, he was asked by another church somewhere to come and do an Easter service, a sunrise service, Easter morning. So he gets in his car, and he gets dressed, and he gets ready to go, and he leaves, and he gets down the road a little ways, and he comes around the corner there, and he runs over a great, big, fat, juicy, black and white skunk. He said, that skunk, the smell came inside my car. He said, my eyes were watering. I was trying to throw up. And he said, I was sick. And so he said, I drew up along there for a little ways in agony. And then I said, Lord, I got to have some help. What do I do? And he said, Thurman, it's just like God got in my car and sat down right beside me. I could hear his. He said, when I heard you say that you God talked to you, he said, he's beginning to talk to me. And he said, I talked to the Lord. I said, Lord, I need some help. He said, the Lord's just like he's sitting in the seat right beside me. He said, didn't you listen to the CD 38 times? Just think, Jesus is counting. Didn't you listen to the teaching 38 times about what my son, he said, what my son, Thurman Scribner, he said, Thurman, he knows your name. Aren't you glad he knows your name? I'm glad he knows my name. He said, didn't you listen to my son Thurman Scrivener's teaching about what I did for his granddaughter? Now then, I'm no respecter of persons, so if I did that for Thurman, what do you need me to do for you? He said, Lord, I need you to get rid of this skunk smell. I need you to take away this smell so I can get there. I can do that sunrise service with no smell of skunk. Lord, thank you. And the Lord says, now then, all you need to do is just focus on me. Focus on me. Now, don't focus on the world. Don't think about this smell. Focus on me. So he said, I begin to focus on the Lord. I said, Lord, thank you for taking away this smell. Thank you, Lord, that I have no... this stuff's all gone. When I get there, we're going to have a great service and everything's going to be great. He said, the smell got less and less and less. And he said, when I pulled into that parking lot and pulled around the corner to park my van, my vehicle, he said, there was absolutely no smell of that skunk left whatsoever. So he said, praise the Lord. He said, then my friend, I called him and told him what happened. And he said, well, since I sent you that deal, I've had a little problem. He said, I got the feeling bad. I went to the doctor and they done an x-ray and checked me and I got cancer. He said, what are you going to do? He said, after listening to Thurman's tape, I'm going to stand on God's word. He said, if God will do the things he does for Thurman, when he stands on it, he'll do it for me. So they agreed in prayer with each other and said, we're going to stand on God's word. And he said, Sunday, he said, I'm going to tell my church what I've done. And he told them. And they all told him, you know, you're crazy. You need, you know, don't do this. Even his wife said, you know, you need to go to the doctor and let them do their thing. He said, no, I'm trusting Jesus. Though he slay me, I'm going to trust Jesus. This is a man beginning to get a hold of the promises of God. So anyway, he said, he called me and told me what he's going to do. So he called me, the pastor, the skunk pastor, he called me and told me and talked to me the other day and said, this last week, and said, we were talking about what to do. I said, well, brother, I've learned that all you got to do is trust Jesus. If you repent of your sins, and I said, the biggest sin in the church today is the sin of unbelief. Yeah. I said, here we got a God that's given us all these wonderful, awesome promises, and we don't believe him. And he said, you're absolutely right. And as we talked, I said, you know, but God will discipline you. In fact, Pastor, let me tell you about a story I had with my hand. I said, I kind of got smart with my wife one day here a few years ago, and I said something sharp to her. I wasn't very nice to her, and when my wife walked out the door, I said, she knows the principles of the kingdom. She looked back at me and looked up at the Lord and said, Lord, please don't hurt him. Well, see, she knows. She knows that God will discipline his children, especially his father, his husbands. You know, he says, husbands, you must love your wife like Christ loved the church, or I won't answer your prayer. So Cheryl knew that God could very easily discipline me, and I should have right then jumped up and said, honey, I'm sorry, forgive me for being smart. But I didn't. So the next day I got my hand tore all to pieces in an overhead door. I mean, all to pieces. And it was really tore up. And when I come back over and let her look at it, she said, well, you know what you did, don't you? And I said, yeah. I said, but I have repented. Now I'm asking you to forgive me. But I said, so anyway, she wrapped up my hand. Tore all to pieces. The next day was Sunday. Jack Butler was here. He's a doctor. He wanted to know what I did, and I told him I messed up my hand. He said, can I see it? I said, well, since you're a doctor, I'll let you see it, but I want you to go in my office because I don't want nobody else to see it. So we went in there, and when we unwrapped it and looked at it, Jack said, Thurman, you need 200 stitches in that hand. 200. But he said, knowing you ain't going to do it, are you? I said, no, I'm going to trust Jesus and Jesus alone. Within 3 weeks, my hand was completely healed without a scar. Great. Completely healed without a scar. Woo! So this pastor said, Thurman, when I was 17, he said, I'm 60. When I was 17, I cut my finger pretty bad. But he said, I've never had any feeling in that finger since. He said, would you pray for me right now that the Lord will restore the feeling in my finger? I said, sure, he can easily do that. So we prayed. And I thank the Lord for doing it. And we talked about some other things for 4 or 5 minutes, and all of a sudden he says, Thurman, guess what just happened? I said, I don't know. What happened? He said, the feeling just came back in my finger. From 17 years old to 60 years old, I've never had any feeling, but after you prayed, the feeling has now come back in just a few minutes. And he's 43 years, and he's had no feeling in that hand, and now it's working perfect. So anyway, I'm praising the Lord and everything, and he says, she said, the other night, on Thursday night, we had a service, and he said there was a woman there that had been having a problem, and she had been in pain for 13 years. And I told her, I said, you know, I'm beginning to get to where I see, I'm beginning to serve a God that does things. Now, I wonder why he'd never done things for him before. He really never asked. He really never believed he would do something. So he said, let me pray for you, ma'am, at the Thursday night service. He said, let me pray for you, and I believe the Jesus I serve will heal you. He said, I started laying hands on this woman and praying for her, and while I was praying for her, she started screaming. Her pain went away that she had had for 13 years. He said, the next Thursday night, we had an awesome event. I said, what's that? When he was talking. He said, we have a Thursday night service. And he says, we've never seen any miracles or healing until just lately. Things are beginning to happen. And I'm beginning to praise the Lord and worship him for all these miracles he's doing. He said, Lord, serving you is fun. I'm loving serving you, Lord. I mean, it is fun when we get to see God show up, right? Amen. I'm telling you. So he said, I'm just praising the Lord, and said, so Thursday night after the service, everybody leaves. And I said, we're leaving the place, and said, my wife and I are nearly the last ones out. So he said, we get in our car and we drive down the road and get 3 or 4 minutes or miles or whatever away from the church. All of a sudden, one of my deacons called me and said, Pastor, I missed the turn at the church where the culvert was, and instead of going around it, I went off the culvert and hit the wall on the other side with my car. Said, I'm okay, but my car is not doing so well. He said, it's tore up. He said, okay, we'll be right back, see if we can help you. So he said, we turned around and we came back. Then when we got up there, there's that car. He ran off of the culvert, ran into the wall on the other side, and when he hit, and then the back of the car sitting up on top of the culvert, and it's bent up. So he said, the whole tail end of the car is bent, and the whole front end is totally destroyed. He said, you're right. Your car has suffered a tremendous stroke. You know, he said, it's really tore up. He said, we're going to have at least 2 wreckers to get this car out of this ditch. So he said, Lord, we need some help. Now, wait a minute. What did he just say?
Lord, I need some help.
We need some help. Do you think God's listening?
Oh, yeah.
You think this Ephesians 3:20, God is always listening? Of course he is. So he said, all of a sudden, I looked up, and here comes this beautiful white truck. He said, it's just shining and glistening. It's got silver stuff on it. He said, it's beautiful. And the guy pulls up and stops and gets out and comes up there. And I said, who are you? He said, I was sent to help you. They ain't called nobody except God. And God, you think God knows our telephone number? He said, I come to help you. And he said, well, how are you going to help us? And he said, well, you need a car out of the ditch. He said, yes. So he said, this man looks like a normal man, walks down there beside the car that missed the culvert and is stuck in the wall over here, and he walks up and reaches up and grabs the car by the window up here and by the back glass back here and picks the car up, turns around and walks over here and sets it down on the highway. Wow. Now then, is that the God of Ephesians 3:20? Now, let me tell you, some of you sitting back there, sitting there with your tongue in your mouth, thinking, this is a lie. Somebody has to be telling me the truth. But all of y'all know I ain't a liar. This really happened last Thursday night. Then after he said that, he said, wow. He said, I looked over at the 2 young men that had stopped to help, and I said, boys, did y'all see what I just saw? Would that affect all of us like that? And them 2 boys said, Pastor, we think we saw that man pick up that car. we think he picked up that car. But nobody can pick up a car. But let me tell you what. He picked that car up and he turned around. And when he set it down on the road, he told the deacon that belonged to the car. He said, okay, now you can go home in your car. I'll follow you home to make sure everything's okay. But he said, sir, the front and back end were tore all to pieces. He said, son, sir, you need to look at it. So he goes up, the deacon looks at his car, and there ain't a scratch. There's not a bent place. There's not a mark on that car. Is that the God we serve?
Yeah, Ephesians 3:20.
That's him, right? You know why we don't ever see God do anything like that for real? Most of us. Because we can't think big enough. We can't imagine that God, hey, I mean, you know, you say, God, and just think, all that Brother Robert had to say was, Lord, I need some help. Just think. That car, he said, the next day I called that deacon. He said, that man in that truck, a white truck, followed me all the way home. And when I pulled into my driveway, he said, I looked back and the lights went out on the truck and the truck was no more. It was gone. There happens to be a God running around on this earth that can do exceedingly abundantly above all you can think or imagine, according to the power that worketh in you. Now then, if this don't inspire you, after little Joel the other day quoted all those Psalms, 91, you remember when Joel quoted Psalm 91? Then he quoted Psalm 104, and then he quoted Psalm 105.
And 45 verses.
Yeah, and Psalm 105 is 45 verses. The other one's 35 verses. The other one's 16 verses. He quoted all that without missing a single thing. And like I told all y'all the other day, that little guy and what he did ought to inspire all of us to learn more of the Word.
Amen.
If he can do that, and we all stood him, seen him do that.
Yes.
He got right, and he's only 9 years old.
Yep.
So praise the Lord. Now, don't tell anybody that you go to a dead church. Tell them you go to a church where miracles happen. Now, let me tell you something about this God. I don't know how he did that, but I will have to say that one time Cheryl and I went down to Florida to preach at a church down there. While we were there, this Jewish engineer and his wife wanted us to come to their home for dinner. So we went to their house, and he and I was talking. And he was asking me about what I thought about Israel and the protection that Israel had and everything we were talking about. And I said, well, all I know is God's in charge of Israel and he'll take care of it. I don't have to worry about nothing. He said, well, Israel has the machines that was made in Area 51 in America. They have three of these machines. And I said, what are they? He said, they're this TR-3B. I said, now I've been a pilot for many years. I was in the Air Force for 4 years. I never heard of a TR-3B. He said, it's one of the best guarded secrets in the world. But he said, Israel has three of those. I said, what are they? He said, they're a space station. And he said, they're in the shape of a delta. And he said, they have a nuclear engine in each tip of each wing, three wings that are, I said, how big are they? He said, from tip to tip, they're 600 feet long.
Wow.
600 feet. I said, what do they carry? He said, neutron bombs. He said, one of those carries enough material to destroy the world.
Wow.
And as he told me this, I said, how does this thing go up and stay up there? He said, we have a machine. He said, this thing can take off vertical and go straight up and then just, and we just disappear into oblivion. I said, how does it do? How do they overcome gravity? He said, no, that's the 80 technology. He says, we have a machine on that machine that does away with 88% of the gravitational force of the pull. So when they're in there, a man that weighs 200 pounds only weighs just about 88% of that. He goes away. I said, how long will this thing stay airborne? He said, indefinitely. He said, the only thing it has to come down for is for the men to be renewed with oxygen and stuff like that. He said, they carry enough to it can stay up for several months. This thing can stay up there. And I thought, wow, I never heard of such a thing. I never dreamed of such a thing. I didn't, you know, that was beyond my vocabulary. I couldn't even go there, although I'd been a pilot and everything. So I came back here and I went to see a man that I know that has he's a very sharp man. He has, he was a military man. He was a fighter pilot. He was in the Air Force in the Marines for several years. And he has a top secret military clearance and all that stuff. And I thought, I wonder if he knows about this TR-3B. So I went to his place one day where he has an airport here in the Metroplex. I went over there and I said, I'm going to ask you a question. And he was just doing something there, working on his desk and everything. I said, have you ever heard of a TR-3B? Where'd you hear that? I said, so there is one. He said, yes. In fact, he said, one of the young men that flies the TR-3B worked for me here at this airport for years. And he said he was here to see me just here a while back. And he said, yes, he's a pilot of one of the TR-3Bs. Now then, if you've never even dreamed of a machine like that, you know, you can't think. But as I begin to see what's going on in the technological world today, I told a story similar to this here at the church, and I talked about this gravitational pull stuff and some of the new stuff that I'm seeing. And that day, there happened to be a man here that came up after the service, and he said, let me run one by you, Thurman. He said, I work for a place right here in Fort Worth, and we have the new 3D printers. I said, a 3D printer? I said, now, I've got a 3D software package. I can make pictures in 3D, but when I print them, they're in 2D. You know, they're just a piece of paper. He said, yeah, I know, but we have a printer that will print and design a piece of equipment in 3D. I said, are you kidding me? He says, no. I said, what are you using it for? He said, I'm in a gear train marketing company or whatever. And he said, when our engineer designed a piece of equipment, we then print it to make sure every clearance and everything's perfect. I said, you mean you print that entire gearbox with all the gears and washers and everything, and they're not stuck together? He said, no, they'll turn. I said, you can't be serious. Have you ever seen one of those? You've seen one, huh?
I financed them.
You financed it? You financed those things?
Yeah.
So you know what I'm talking about is true.
Absolutely.
I had never heard of such a thing. But they build, and when they print one of these gear trains, these gearboxes, these planetaries and everything, that thing comes out like it's just been made and put together and assembled. And you've seen them. Okay, so here's another man some of you that say, well, Thurman lost it today. God sent me a man to let you know that I'm not telling you a lie. Here's a man that says he knows what I'm talking about and that he finances those things. Isn't that amazing? Now then, let's stop and think about this. We have the biggest problem in the church today is unbelief. Now then, if we can see a man that can build a printer, they can print 3D and have a man over here to confirm what I'm telling you is the truth. You know, can you believe that? Can you believe that it's possible to do something like that?
Yeah.
If we can believe that, and then we can believe that this TR-3B that they made really will go up into space, they can stay up there for weeks or months at a time, and they could even destroy the world from up there if God would let them, but he's in control. Ain't nobody going to destroy nothing unless he says okay. So why in the world can't we develop enough faith to get ourselves healed by the Lord Jesus? Why can't we do that? You know, why can't we say, and this happens all the time, you pray over somebody, and after you pray, they say, I sure hope that works. You know, I look at my good buddy Franz up here, and I think about when he first started coming to my church, this was all new to him. He'd never heard anything like this either, had you, Fran? But anyway, and of course, he's 87 years old. And he's still in good health. Yeah. But anyway, as he sat here and listened to me talk about these things, well, slowly but surely, he began to develop a faith. And so one day, Franz calls me. Cheryl and I had been out to eat with some couple on a Saturday night. And my cell phone rang, and Franz had my number. And he called me and he said, Thurman, I sat in your church and listened to you talk about Jesus and how awesome Jesus is and what he does. And he said, every time I get sick, I go to a doctor. But he said, I just checked myself a while ago and I was in the bathroom or something looking. And he said, I looked in my mouth and he said, I got this big old bump in my mouth. And said, I looked at the mirror and I have a terrible big old tumor. And said, it's so big and looks so bad. it looks like I need to get my stuff together because I'm probably going to punch out pretty quick. Is that how bad it looked, Franz? He said, but I thought, instead of going to the doctor, I'm going to do what Thurman says. I'm going to call on Jesus. Amen. So he called me and said, would you pray? I told a couple I was with, I said, okay, we're going to do this right now. Now, this was about 6 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. I said, first of all, I want to remit my sins. I don't know what I might have done that day, but God said he don't hear the prayer of a sinner, right? So if I'd done something, Lord, I remit my sins. And then I said, I don't know what my wife may have done. She may have done something too. So I remit her sins. And then I take this couple here that we're in the car with. I don't know what they've done this week, so there ain't no telling. You know, they're human beings. So I said, Lord, I remit their sins. And then I said, Lord, I ask you to wash them and me and Cheryl in the blood. See, I know how powerful that blood is. It's beyond me how you can take that high-pressure power washer of blood and blow in the brightest red blood, and when it comes off, you're clean and white from top of your head to the bottom of your feet. Now, how God does that, I don't know, but he does.
Yes, sir.
And so I said, we're gonna pray this, and then I'm going to pray the same thing over Franz. And so I prayed, I remitted his sins and his family's sins and anybody's around him's sins and wash all them in the blood. I said, now then, Father, you said if two of us on earth agree about anything, is that what he said, Miss Carrie?
Yeah.
If two of us on earth agree about anything, he'll do it.
Yeah.
I said, Lord, I ask you to completely heal this man's mouth, take that tumor out, make him perfect. Absolutely no problem, just make him perfect. Right now, in Jesus' name, I said, Lord, thank you, it's done. I said, Franz, I'll see you at church tomorrow. And he hung up the phone. The next day, Sunday afternoon, when I'm sitting back there on the back, Franz comes walking in, he walks up there and runs up there and puts his arm around me and grabs me, reaches over to my ear and says, Thurman, you sure know how to make Jesus real in a man's life. And what did he do for you, Franz?
He healed me.
He heals you from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. I mean, that thing went away, and you ain't even got a mark there no more, do you?
Not a thing.
Not a thing. Do we serve a healing Jesus? Now, from the testimonies and miracles and things you heard today, I mean, we heard all kinds of things, have we not?
Yes.
But this God, this, in other words, I want us to look at this Ephesians 3:20. I want us to put that on the board. Read it for me.
Okay.
What does that say, brother?
It says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us.
Amen.
So,
amen. So we need some of that power in us, don't we?
Absolutely.
We need a whole bunch of it, right?
Amen. That's right.
And if we got that in us, what can he do?
Exceedingly abundantly. Beyond anything we can imagine.
Exceedingly abundantly. You know, I can think, just like the stories I've just told you here today, you got to step out on a limb to be able to even talk about the things we talked about today. But do you know the things we talked about today for our God? How difficult was that for him to heal your mouth that day, Franz? You didn't even feel a pain, did you?
I didn't know when it was healed.
Just went away.
It went away.
Wow. And Miss Paula, yours just went away. And you got healed when Mike and Gracie prayed for you. But nearly every one of us in this room have been healed. Mike has been healed himself, you know. But, I mean, Kim right here, you know. I mean, this little gal, whenever she comes to my church over in Dallas, she had a back problem for years. And her husband, they came, and she sat way back there in the back somewhere. And when I asked anybody to come down and had a pain that was going to pray for them, she said, I ain't going down there. I ain't going down there. I ain't never seen nothing like this, and I'm afraid he'll push me down. I might get hurt. I might really hurt my back. I ain't going down there. And what did God do for you anyway, Ken?
He healed me right then.
He healed you sitting at your seat.
That's right.
Is he good?
He's an awesome.
He can do exceedingly.
Abundantly.
Above all.
Oh,
you can think or imagine.
That's right.
According to the power that works in us. Miss Jackie, what can he do?
Any and everything.
That we can believe him for. Now then, if we can't think very big, you ain't never going to see God do very many big things, right? But if you can believe. I mean, I just thought to myself when I saw one of those 3D printers work, a guy brought me a little gearbox that they printed. And I saw the thing. And I looked at it and I said, you're telling me that y'all put this stuff in a printer and it printed all this out, these little gears turn and everything? He said, yeah, it prints it just like that. I had to reprogram my brain. because I can't think that. I've been a 2D man all of my life. you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, now let's go back and let's just get real wild a second. Let's think about when Graham come to the people in New York City and said, I need financing to make a telephone line that you can talk from city to city. They said, get out of our presence. You're an idiot. You lost your mind. Nobody could talk over the air. Who do you think we are? We're going to finance some stupid plan like that? Gracie, could you make it without a phone today? You see what I mean? I mean, here's what the brain boys of the Northeast, and a man comes that I figured out how to make a phone, a machine that you can talk on a receiver, and it transmits this line all the way to another city down a wire. And they said, you are crazy. You are absolutely crazy. Now then, none of y'all think the phone's crazy today, right? I mean, when you say you got a phone, I said, what's the big deal? Everybody's got a phone. I got to have a phone. I can't live without a phone. You really think that phone line, you can talk in one end of that thing and it transmits sounds all the way to the other end of the world? Why, of course. How can you believe that's so simple? And yet Jesus will tell you.
Amen, that's good.
Yeah, Jesus will tell you if two of you on earth agree about anything. Is that what he said, son?
Amen, that's right.
So you're how many?
One.
And she's how many?
Two. One plus one is two.
Okay, so that's not hard to figure out, is it?
No.
Jesus said, if you just two of y'all
disagree
about anything, and we go through life defeated because we won't believe his promises.
Amen. That's good.
Isn't that awesome?
That is awesome. Amen.
I think it's time we get over this. I think it's time we start believing this God that's beyond our wildest dreams. I think we ought to start saying, when somebody says something, we need to be like that little girl. When Dave, and I've told this story yesterday, and I'm going to tell it again today. When Dave and I went somewhere, me and him sitting there, and I sat down, and a lady sat down beside me at the airport. And she sat there a few minutes. She said, sir, I'm having trouble with my bladder. She said, would you wash my bag for me while I run to the bathroom? I looked at her, and I said, ma'am, you're not a terrorist, are you? She said, no, of course not. I said, well, you don't look like a terrorist. You look like just a normal woman. So I said, I have no problem. Sure, I'll watch your bag. So she goes to the bathroom, and when she comes back, I said, ma'am, are you a Christian? Yes. I said, well, have you ever prayed over your bladder? No. I said, well, don't you think that the God that we serve, he could heal you if you prayed? She said, well, I don't know. I never seen him do anything like that. I said, you haven't? She said, have you? I said, oh, yes, ma'am. I've seen him heal and do I've seen lots of answers to prayer. In fact, I said, let me tell you about this. She said, can you tell me a story about it? So I said, sure. I pulled out the pictures of Jenna, the little girl that's out there on the wall. And I showed her, and she looked at me. She said, my God, who beat that child? I said, Jesus did. Ooh. She said, you're crazy. I said, no, ma'am, I'm not. I said, because of the mother's sin, this is what happened to this little girl. And I said, after we prayed for her and we got the sins confessed, I said, this is what she looked like. And I showed her the picture of Jenna, and she looked at that and she says, that's Photoshop. That ain't real.
Wow.
You see why people don't get anything? Because their God is not the Ephesians 3:20 God. Is that right?
That's right.
He's not their God. So he's got to be your God. And if he's your God, then you can pray, because when we got on the flight, we're going somewhere, we've been flying a couple of hours. I got up to walk back to the back or whatever. I just needed to walk a minute. I get back to the back. There's a little black girl back there that's a hostess. I walked up to her and I said, young lady, you a Christian? Yes, sir. I thought, now this girl knows Jesus. This girl knows Jesus. I said, well, I said, have you ever seen God do a miracle? She said, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I've seen God do miracles. I said, okay, let me show you a miracle he did for me. And I pulled out the picture of Jenna. And she looked, oh, my, that poor child. She said, that's awful. I said, but you know, after we found the mother's sin that caused this and got the mother to repent and pray, this is what she looked like. And she looked at that, and the difference in women. She looked at that for a second. She said, Sir, that's my Jesus. Now, that's my Jesus. Now, then, when you get a God that is, that's your Jesus, then he's the Ephesians 3:20 God, and he's the God that can answer your prayer. He's the one that can send an angel to pick up that car. You know, if God can send a man that can build a machine that will fly at these astronomical speeds, that knows no distance, no realms of time, distance, or speed, that can stay up and be run by a nuclear engine and all this stuff and stay up there forever, if he can design that machine that has 88% of the magnetic pull. When I asked him, I said, I never heard of that. I didn't learn that in school or nothing. He said, Thurman, this is 1980 technology. Where have you been? And I thought, so this engineer, he said, Thurman, this is 1980 technology. You mean you've never heard of these machines that take away our gravitational pull? I said, I never heard of such a thing. How many of you have heard about a machine like that? Some of you have, but some of you have not. Most of you are just like I was. I never heard of such a thing. But whenever they come up with a 3D printer, I thought he was pulling my leg there too. I couldn't go there with him. Print a machine, 3D. I saw them print a crescent wrench. It was on a machine, on a printer. It looked just like a regular printer. And they took a computer and they scanned a crescent wrench, a 12-inch crescent wrench with a little neural knot and everything that runs the adjuster deal up and down. Everything with the pin in it and everything. They scanned it with a scanner on a computer and then they printed it. And when they printed it, when it came out, that printer had printed that crescent wrench with all the internal parts, and that little nut would work, it would turn, it would go up and down, and everything. Now, first of all, somebody somewhere had to dream that up. Is that right, brother? Somebody had to figure out that it is possible to do something like this. But for me, you won't have to worry about me making one of them because I can't even figure it out today. Even after, I don't know how somebody does. That's kind of beyond my grasp right there. I want to spend all my time having faith for Jesus.
That's right.
In other words, if I have enough faith and I have enough faith for Jesus, I don't have to have a printer to make that work.
That's right.
I can just say, Lord, I need another crescent wrench, and bam, there it'll be. That's the kind of faith I want to have. It's you. Now then, if that pastor, and oh, by the way, in July, which is only 1 month away, the healing school in July, that pastor from Tennessee is going to be here, and he's going to tell those stories himself right here in this church. And who knows what else God may do for him between now and then. But he's serving Jesus, and it's fun, and Jesus is having fun with him. And so he's going to be here. He's going to tell us these stories. And like I say, since he's learning how to do this, there ain't no telling what kind of stories he may have by the time he gets here next month. But when he said, my wife and I are coming to your healing school in July, we will be there. I said, and you will be willing to tell all these stories to the folks, will you not? He said, oh, yeah, I'll be happy to tell. He loves to tell it just like you love to tell about that girl, Mike. Because you got to see God do those very things for that girl. And then we get to hear you tell it with the excitement in your voice.
Yeah.
We serve a God of Ephesians 3:20.
Yeah.
We take that lightly. We read that, and we don't think about it like this. Let me tell you. Let me introduce you to the God that can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you can even think. It doesn't make any difference how big or whatever you think you can do. Anything you think you can do is 10 million times bigger than that. He can do it.
Yeah.
You know that?
Amen.
We need to get over it, don't we, Franz?
We do.
We serve an awesome God.
Amen.
In fact, I'm going to tell you all something. Franz may have to help me. He bought a new car. I think it was a red one. And he went somewhere, that car, and he was going through a stoplight or something, and he didn't see the light or whatever, and a guy ran through the car. Is that right, Franz?
Through the front part of it, yeah.
The front part of the car. I mean, that guy, Franz is in the car, driving the car, and I think he cries out for help or something when you see it or something.
Yeah.
Cries, Lord, help me or whatever. But a guy went right through his car, right through the fender, right through the engine compartment. He said, I could have reached out and touched his car, and went right on through, and it never put a mark on either one of them's car. That happened to him. When you call out to Jesus, what can he do?
Yeah.
anybody would believe it. But you, God bless you.
I believe it, Franz. When you told me, I know you're a man of truth and integrity, and if it didn't happen, you wouldn't have never said it. But it did happen. But did you know there's a lot of people that don't tell about things that Jesus does because they can't go there. Lots of people can't even tell about their healing. They get healed, but they can't tell nobody. I mean, I can't tell them. I've had people, numerous people tell me, if I go tell my family that I came here and I got healed, they're going to think I'm crazy. I say, go tell them. Just go tell them anyway. I mean, has your testimony at work changed anybody, Miss Paula?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Lots of people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Especially within my family and friends.
Yeah. So you see, she's telling them. You know, and the thing about it is, just like she said, her family and friends. Now, she might tell that to somebody, and they say, well, you know, you look good. You know, you don't look like you've ever had any problems. And so you don't look like you're ever in pain or nothing. But when she's been in pain for 20 years with her family, they all know. And she knows, and now that she don't have no pain or nothing, she's healed. And so when they see you, they got to say, well, something happened. Something happened. You're not the same woman.
I was telling that she slept 4 hours a night. She's a Betty. It wasn't 4 hours a night. It was four hours every three nights.
Oh, wow.
Every night, she'd only sleep 4 hours.
Because of pain.
And I said, Paula, if I'd done that, I'd have prayed harder. I couldn't believe it.
Wow.
I can't imagine.
The God we serve, what can he do? What is the limiting factor for God with us? Us.
It's just us.
It's us. It's me. It's you. If you can't believe, just like Jesus when he told him, Jairus, his daughter was dead, and they said, Master, don't bother yourself. His daughter's dead. You can't, nothing you can do now. He said, Jairus, only believe. Only believe. Only believe and you shall see the glory of God. I mean, raising somebody from the dead. And of course, I love to tell the story of Miss Carrie. Yeah. You know, when she went down to Florida with her husband and they went down to a relative that had already been put in hospice. And when they got there and she looked at that friend, she said, oh my goodness, she's awful. I mean, she for a second, she's looking at what she sees. And you don't ever do that. And thank God for Jesus because the Master spoke to her and says, Carrie, my dear, did Jesus not raise Lazarus from the dead after he'd been dead 4 days? And she said, yes, Lord. He said, well, this woman's still alive, so she'll be a piece of cake. So you prayed for her, and she got well. And she got out of hospice, and she got well. Now, isn't that amazing? If y'all don't know this God, let me introduce you to him. His name is Jesus Christ. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. He's the God of gods. There is no other beside him. Don't hesitate to tell everybody what Jesus has done for you at the healing school and what he's done for you every day. I mean, walk in love with God. Do not be ashamed of the King. He loves you with a love that's out of this world. And he wants you to serve him. But he won't force himself on you. You have to make that choice yourself. Anybody that goes to hell and burns in hell forever is going to be there because they made the wrong choice. The price has been paid for every one of us to go to heaven, hasn't it? And I don't know about you, but I'm going to be in heaven. I've made the God of this world, the God of creation, I've made him my God and my Lord. And I know who he is. And I guarantee I ain't going to serve that other beast, are we, Scott?
No,
ain't other beasts, we ain't going to serve him. Praise God. Wow. Lord, I thank you for all these folks that come out here to the Living Savior Church and listen to us tell your stories because, Lord, you're an awesome God and we got stories. All of us. And I thank you for all these folks that you touched and all the stories you got. And I thank you for all the lives you healed this healing school, how you're going to change their lives forever and how the men and women that came to that healing school yesterday are going to continue to walk in love with you. And they're going to believe your word with no doubt in their heart. And they're going to get their complete healing. And we're all going to get our complete healing. And I thank you and praise you that you are the God of Ephesians 3:20. And that we know you. And Lord, I praise you and thank you and worship you. I thank you for all the men and women that you've healed, and I thank you for the ones that you're going to heal, and I thank you for the miracles that you're going to do in the future. Those exceeding abundantly above all we can think or imagine. There's no telling what you have planned for those of us that believe. But Lord, I believe, and I believe with you there ain't nothing, 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 even difficult or hard. Because you said, I think it's in Luke 1:37 or somewhere along there, that with God, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. Is that true?
Amen.
Amen. So Lord, we thank you and praise you.